Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Saints, and welcome to Miracle Internet Church. I'm Pastor Sabrina, and we are all glad that we are all here in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we want to thank the Lord for this opportunity. You know, there are Christians all over the world that are persecuted and that are not able to meet together and have Christian fellowship, and if particularly fellowship in the Word. There are Christians all over the world suffering very, very severe persecution. And so we need to be aware of that and not take this grace and this blessing for granted. It's a privilege to be able to meet together with saints from all over the world and all different walks of life. I want to thank the Lord for affording us this opportunity. And I want to thank the Lord for each of us being safe and sound and growing in the things of the Lord and coming to know the Lord better every day through every experience. So, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we acknowledge you and we thank you and we welcome you into this service. We welcome you, Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for an opportunity for us to all meet together and to experience the truth of the Word of God and your holy love. Thank you, Father, for watching over us. Thank you for guiding us and directing us and correcting us and helping us and strengthening us and supporting us. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor for it, Lord. We want to thank you that the truth comes forth in this ministry, Lord. And we lift up other ministries around the world that are actually preaching the truth of the Word of God, that are actually pleasing the Lord with the ministry. We lift them up to you, Lord, and we ask you to protect them, to safeguard them, and to bless them. We ask you, Lord, to sever from each of our members affiliations that simply are not pleasing to you at all. Thank you, Lord, for that. Sometimes we feel an obligation to hold on to connections that do not please you at all. We think that for traditional reasons or some other reason, we ought to just hold on and hold out, when that's not what you're calling us to do at all. Father, forgive us for presuming that we know what is right. Forgive us for presuming that we know what is right. The Bible says that the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Help us to remember that we're to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and not march to the tune of tradition or some kind of perceived obligation. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to understand what boundaries are and why they exist. We give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. We want to thank you, Lord, for delivering the saints from predicaments that they've gotten themselves into. No, Lord, you didn't tell them to do it. They just hauled off and did it. You know how that works. Jumped in the flesh as if they don't know that that's the flesh. But, Lord, we forgive the saints, and we ask you to help them see that what they did was not the best decision. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We ask you, Lord, to strengthen each of us in our choices, in our decision-making, that we must remember that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Master of our lives, and that we should not introduce presumption when we have an open opportunity to ask. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for helping us to get a good grip on what you want us to do. There are times, Lord, and yes, there will be more times, when the decision you give us is not pleasing to others. But, Lord, we ask you to eventually give them peace, because we have chosen to stand with the directions and the instructions and the commands that you give us. We're following you. You're our allegiance. All of our hallelujahs belong to you. So thank you, Lord, for helping us to see more clearly the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning our own lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for helping us to grow in faith and in trust. Amen. Amen. You know, Saint, sometimes I'm just going to pick a scene from my own life, and I'm going to talk about it. Sometimes in our family groups, there are presumptions made that so-and-so ought to do this, and so-and-so ought to do that, and so-and-so ought to do the other, but they never discuss it with so-and-so. And chances are that's probably true in quite a few families. But you see, just because all of your other cousins go out to the cemetery on Memorial Day to put new flowers does not mean that God wants you to do it. I'll just say it that way. And some of us grow up thinking, well, that's got to be my responsibility. We didn't ask God a thing. And God doesn't want you out there at the cemetery on Memorial Day putting out flowers. They're plastic anyway. All right? So let's get a right perspective of what God really wants of us. We have to inquire of the Lord. Some of us have done it for so long that we do it by rote. We do it presuming that that's what is expected of us, and therefore this is what's pleasing to the Lord, but not necessarily so. Amen? Not necessarily so. Well, you know, we ought to do this because Christmas is, did you ever notice that God only celebrated the birth of his son one time? He never came back and did that again. So, no, you are not obligated to do it that way, even if other people think you're strange because you don't. The Bible says that our traditions make the word of God of none effect. So I'm going to challenge you to take a look at your life and how you live it, and ask the Lord before you presume, before you go to do what you've done every year. Every year, you know, we go out here and we put these flowers, and she only liked yellow flowers, so we can't take pink flowers. They have to be yellow. Before you get into that, go ask God what he thinks about that. He might not agree with that practice at all now that you've grown up some in Christianity. At the beginning, he didn't say too much about it. You weren't at a place where he wanted to do that then, but now you've grown. And so now you have to go back to God and say, do you still want me to do this? That's the way it works. You know, I always go do such and such and such and such, but do you still want me to continue to do this? One of the things that made me remember that is when a member, a very close relative in my family, died. And other members of the family, on whatever day it was they wanted to go, they went out there to tend to the gravesite. I wasn't too excited about it, but I hadn't given it any thought. But I had a friend in Christ thought about it while she was praying for me. And she prayed and asked the Lord to intervene and not to let me go back out there to the graveyard to do something I wasn't interested in doing anyway. You know? And I just used that particular thing as an example. It could be something else. Because you're her third daughter, they expect you to do this, and they're going to give you this responsibility that possibly God never did. All right? So as we grow in the Lord, we need to reexamine areas of our lives and ask the Lord, is this still pleasing to you? Do you want change here? Amen? Because you know when you were 10 years old, you wore clothes that fit you at 10. Well, you're not 10 anymore, and you can't wear those clothes. Amen? So I want you to think about that and pray about it and go to the Lord and let him help you with that. See, you're not 10 anymore. You can't wear size 10 clothes anymore. You know, those clothes you wore when you were 10. You're grown now. You've grown up. Your body parts have expanded. You need a new size. So, spend some time with the Lord. Amen? And let him bring some refining to the situation. You know, we prayed not too long ago about public opinion. And in our natural thinking, we don't think of family opinion as public opinion. But in reality, it may well be. Jesus tells us clearly in the scripture that if you put son or daughter, or mother, or father, or sister, or brother ahead of me, you're not worthy of me. So we need to take those situations back to the Lord now that we know three scriptures and reexamine them in light of the Word of God. We need to let the Lord speak afresh to us about those things. You see, because some of us are wearing yokes that God didn't give us. We think it's our responsibility to go check on Susie and on Brother Boo and on everybody else. And God may not want that. God might want you to rest carrying this on your shoulders, and God didn't put it there. You've been carrying it for a long time, feeling that you're obligated to go do this and go do that and go do the other when you're already exhausted. Jesus said his yoke is easy and his burden is light. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. So here you are, you had a strenuous year. You had to move. You had to do this. You had to do that. You had to do the other. You had all of these things that don't come with necessarily everyday living. And so you're drained, and you need to be refreshed and restored. But no, you're carrying this yoke that says, okay, I've got 3 days off, and so now I have to go You see this one and this one and this one and that one and this one and this one and this one. Says who? You know, Pastor, I haven't seen them in a long time. Did you discuss this with the Lord? You know, God has a will in the matter. You're his. You're precious to him. And he doesn't want you burn out. He doesn't. He doesn't want you to be burned out. Why? Because that's an open door to the devil. He can attack you physically and spiritually and emotionally and on and on and on and on and on. You know, if it's not the relatives, then you have this list of things to do, and I'm going to tell you how long your list is. Your list is so long that it reaches from your front doorstep all the way to the steps that lead to heaven. That's how long your list is. And every time you get 2 minutes where God wants you to rest, you have to go get something on that list done. You are not satisfied nor pleased until you are about to pass out. Okay? So I have something to say about that. Don't you think you ought to reevaluate that? Don't you think you ought to reevaluate that? Because every day we're supposed to live to please the Lord. It does not mean that we automatically please ourselves or that we automatically please others. It means that we actually obey God. There are people that have gone out of this world prematurely because they were stiff-necked, hard-headed, and bone-headed. When God said rest, they went to Walmart and had a heart attack in Walmart and died soon thereafter. And my mother was one of them. As I said, I'm just going to take a few pictures from my own life, not talking about yours, out of my own life, so that it can help you to see things from a different point of view. Amen? When God says it's time to stop, it's time to stop. Amen? We need to let God be in control of our lives and stop thinking we already have it figured out. We need to look at life each day a little different than we have looked at it. We assume, okay, this is what I'm going to do, and then I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to do that, but it's raining. I'm still going to do this, and I'm still going to do that, but it's 100 degrees out, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. Saints, under the lordship and governance of God. And if God doesn't say go, you ought not to do that. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll let you think about that for a while. I'll let you think about that. Amen. And a special welcome to all of our first-time listeners. We are a Christian, Protestant, non-denominational, international, healing, deliverance, teaching, and miracle church. We meet on the internet every Wednesday and every Friday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time in the United States of America, and whatever time that is in your time zone. We also meet on Sundays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time and whatever the corresponding time is in your time zone. We invite you to join us while we're live on the air. And if you so choose to, you may join us in our chat room. Our chat room is located on our webpage. Our webpage is internetchurch.com. When the page comes up on your computer screen, across the banner you'll see MIC Radio Chat. Please do click that link, and when the page changes, click Guest. When it changes again, sign in using your own name, one of those found on your birth certificate, and your message to the saints, your greeting to the saints, and push enter, and the saints will respond and greet you. If you're on a cell phone, use your browser to find Miracle Internet Church. When the page comes up, at the top of the page across the banner, you'll see three white lines against a black background. Click the three white lines. It will open up all the other links to you. Click MIC Radio Chat Room and follow the directions that you just heard. And welcome to Miracle Internet Church. So, church, we have a lot to think about in Jesus. Amen. God wants us to have life, and that more abundantly. And sometimes we're so busy doing our routine that we forget this. Amen?
Amen.
So, Father, in the name of Jesus, acknowledging that we have all kinds of saints in our church, and some of them are supervisory, and some are retired, and we have all kinds. Okay. So, Father, we pray for every employee of our organization, every person of our family, in our home. And we ask that you give us wisdom in our interactions with them. Help us to recognize and develop their individual strength. Help us to provide them with the necessary tools and resources to get their jobs done. Lord, make us sensitive to their needs, both personal and professional, to manage. What is the most important asset of any family or any organization? It's the people. You died for people. You didn't die for businesses. You died for people. You didn't die for government. You died for people. When we look at them, help us to see them with our hearts as well as our eyes. Give us the ability to communicate clearly to them the ideas and directions you have given us. Help them to understand the decisions that are being made which involve them. Help us to be open to their input in these matters. Lord, grant us the wisdom to balance the tangible, strategic, and tactical aspects of every decision with the intangible, sensitive, and human aspects involved in it. Amen. Cause us to see our family members or our fellow employees as people and not just merely workers. And if our kids bring friends over, they're just not their friends. That's a human being, specially made for the world at this time, and show us how to bring out the best in each of them. Help us, Father, to relay truth to everyone around us through our lives. Give us the ability to communicate to them clearly what is expected from them. Help us to deal fairly and honestly with them, to praise them when they do well, and to correct them when they fail. Help us, Father, to be able to share insight and constructive criticism with them, always focused on the performance and never on the performer, so that even after correction, they still feel encouraged and excited about their work with a full understanding of what needs to be done to change or correct the specific action under review. Father, we pray for families, our families, and the families of those with whom we spend a lot of time during the week working with them, Lord. Bless them as you see fit. Grant them health and wholeness and provide for their needs abundantly. We ask, Father, that you grant them joy and enthusiasm concerning their work. By your Spirit, help them to see the big picture and not just their small part in it. Give them the ability to understand that the more they put into their work, the more they will derive from it. Help them, Lord, to control their tongue. Cause them to realize that strife and gossip and backbiting, which will in the end not only negatively affect the company or the home, but more seriously, destroy themselves spiritually. Lord, raise up among our ranks Joshua's and Caleb's and make them to shine. Give them insight on where they should be placed for maximum advantage. You know, your family members have gifts. You have gifts. They have gifts. Help them to grow in their gifts. They have strong points and weak points. Amen. Thank you, Father, for sending good people into our lives. Qualify. Teach them to be dedicated, to do whatever it is that needs to be done. Thank you that they will be called of God and blessed of God. Amen. We thank you for equipping them. Thank you for your grace to get the job done above and beyond our own strengths, abilities, gifts, and talent. Thank you for imparting to each person everything they need to perform their duties with joy and excellence. Pray that at the end of the day, they may truthfully say, I have given my all and done my best. Thank you, Father, for your blessings upon everyone, because of their commitment and their faithfulness to you, to the company, to the family, to the home, to the church, wherever they find themselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I hope that blessed you to learn. You know, everybody doesn't have the same amount of energy and strength as everybody else. And when we find ourselves feeling physically strained, we can't just push ourselves, because then something else goes wrong. I know some of us were raised by families where people did that. And so we thought that when we grew up, we were supposed to do that too. But you see, every human being is an individual. And God looks at us individually. Amen? So don't think that because your mother raised 12 children, that you've got what it takes to raise 12 children too. She was her, you're you. And sometimes we have to grow up and realize that that's really the truth of the matter. We're gifted to do what God expects us to do, someone else did. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because you see, saints, this is a very important deliverance. Some of us still in the back of our minds have Aunt So-and-so or Dad or Granddad or whoever it was, and they worked like a horse. And we think that that's what we're supposed to do too. But that may not be what God wants. Maybe that was what God wanted from them, but not necessarily from us. Amen? So, don't go around comparing yourself like that. And if it made them mean, it might have been that they were in pain. It might have meant that they were in pain and suffering. Did you ever think about that? When people are trying to work and do things and they're in pain, it changes their entire attitude because the pain demands their attention. Pain demands their attention. I had to learn that lesson the hard way. In the secular world, I worked in a position where you basically had to stand up all the time. You know, 12, 13, 14 hours a day. If you went to the toilet to relieve yourself, people rolled their eyes at you and talked about you nasty, as if that's not a normal human function. And I remember time when I had been injured and I went to work on crutches and with a donut and did what I had to do on crutches. I worked 12 hours doing what I had to do on crutches. I could not take pain medication because it conflicted with what I had to do. So that meant there was no pain medication. So that meant the pain grew throughout the day more severe. Huh. Did you ever think that sometimes people are not angry, they're in pain? There are a lot of people that get up and go to work every single day in pain. They're not grumpy. They hurt. I remember a time when I was in a church and I was wearing shades while I was in the church. And somebody that's in this ministry now had the audacity to judge me. That individual told me that it made them suspicious of me. Well, you see, for the majority of my life, I've had light sensitivities in my eyes. And when it bothers me, I do what I know to do to take care of it. You see, being judgmental is not of God. It's a work of the flesh. Work of the flesh. You can't just look at a situation and think you know everything, because you don't. Pride does that. Humility won't ever do that. Amen. So, saints, be careful how you walk in this world. Remember, the judgment that you release comes back to you again. Amen. Amen. So, let's pray some more. Heavenly Father, according to your word, we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable in your sight. We thank you, Lord, that you gird our loins about with the spirit of truth. We wear the breastplate of righteousness, and we shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, we take the shield of faith so that we'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We put on the helmet of salvation, and we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You put a hedge around us, Father. Thank you. We're covered by the blood of Jesus, and we're the head and not the tail. No weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper. So, for the armor that you provided for us to wear into battle, and we are your sheep, and you are our shepherd. So we know that we shall not want, because you have supplied all of our need according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus our Lord. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So we cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself into the knowledge of God, over the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. We cast on all our cares. We cast all our cares upon you, Lord, because you care for us. So, we thank you for divine health, Father. You're the God who heals all of our diseases, and by your stripes, we have been healed. We thank you for prosperity and good health, even as our souls prosper. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. So, Lord Jesus, lead us and guide us in all our ways. Holy Spirit, we are under your governance. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're the Lord of our lives. Father, we are yours. We are yours. Thank you so much for everything, especially the blood of Jesus. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, from our position, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. We bind Satan the strong man and all of his evil angels, evil spirits, demonic agents, all of his underlings, decisions, timings, maneuvers, tactics, devices, plans, orders, and we cancel all demonic assignments and satanic agendas against the rightory from Satan in Jesus' name, Lord. And we ask you, Father, to pull down and destroy all the protections of the enemy, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen about that. Yes, we bind every form of godliness which denies the power of Jesus Christ. We come into agreement with the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And we come out of agreement with Satan, his agents, and his wicked powers. We close and seal all portals, channels, open doors of access to the enemy. We pull down all demonic thrones. We bind the wicked principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and all spiritual wickedness in high places. We release the all-consuming fire of God on every ley line, silver cord, and garland. We bind the demons and workers of darkness in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We bind rape and murder to its strong men and dethrone them all, chaining them all in eternal chains and darkness, and placing them in the custody of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. We bind the sources of all witchcraft attacks, and we return the attacks onto the hands of the devils to bring them to cling to them for eternity. We bind all trafficking demons, reporters, watchers, peeps, whispers, familiar, electronic, digital, technology demons and their attacks. We bind all Leviathan spirits and their attacks, brainwashing, Kundalini, psychic spirits and their attacks, all water and marine spirits and their attacks, all sex devils and their attacks, all unclean spirits and their attacks, all passive devils and their attacks, all pain-afflicting spirits, sleep deprivation spirits, artificial intelligence, smart dust, and drone spirits in Jesus' name, all sorcery devils and their attacks, all seducing, womanizing, whoredom spirits and their attacks. We bind the Havana syndrome, brain changes, brain injuries, all remote viewing, all sonic and audio weapons, targeted radio frequencies, pulse weapons and their attacks, all microwave attacks, and debilitating sonic frequency attacks, and the work of every druid. We bind all the voices of the stranger, the charmer, and the seducer in Jesus' name. We bind all hypnotic trance devils and their attacks, all mystic rituals and their intent. We bind electromagnetic attacks, smart technology attacks, techno-paganism, mind control by the occult, voice feedback, cyber stalking, cyber sex crimes, pornography, demonic curiosity, bewitching spirits which manipulate modern technology, pulse microwave radiation attacks designed to cause neurological problems, brain injuries, debilitating headaches, vertigo, binding directed energy microwave weapons, binding all vibrations which are demons. Thank you, Jesus. You're helping us, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you very, very much. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for giving us liberty and freedom as we pursue the work that you've given our hands to do, Lord. Authority, dominion, and power over the evil works of those on our jobs who would attack us, Father, in Jesus' name. We bind up those attacks in the name of Jesus. We raise the shield of faith so that we quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Regisera, recurro, cura de dia. Rila la diosunda de breca de diosur, gula de diosunda de bri. Kirisila la diosunda de breca de diosula la diosunda de bri. Kisha la diosala la diosunda de braca curucutu rubri. Rila la diosunda de bricha de diocur, calara diosa. Every attack on our jobs goes back. Every attack on our jobs goes back in Jesus' name. Every single attack on our jobs goes back wherever it came from in the name of Jesus. We forbid it to come to us. We reject it in Jesus' name. We command it to leave us now, every attack. We raise the shield of faith against it, and it must go back in the name of Jesus. It must go back in Jesus' name. Every attack against us is bound, and it must go back in the name of Jesus Christ. Every attack must go back in Jesus' holy name. Father, we take authority, dominion, and power over envy and jealousy on our job that come to attack us. We send it back in the name of Jesus Christ. We send it back in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for us to not bear false witness against our neighbor. That's not just for Christians, that's for humans. So we send it back, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. For those false witnesses and those false accusations, we bind them up. Leviathan, we bind you now in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind you. You cannot attack in the name of Jesus. We send you into the spiritual cage to the feet of Jesus for judgment. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We bind all hypnotic and trance devils. We bind all mystic rituals and their intent. We overturn and empty all cauldrons and chalice on the heads of the conjurers and the magicians. We bind 5G and components and everything coming from another galaxy, what we refer to as outer space, from any other planet, from any comet, from any orbit, from any satellite, especially man-made satellites that were sent into space. We bind wickedness coming against humans in the name of Jesus Christ, even through a receptor here on Earth, whether it be the cell towers or our devices. We raise the shield of faith, and we quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We send these attacks back where they came from in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we raise our shields of faith against all possible EMF and EMP attacks in Jesus' name. We bind these attacks, and we command them to go back where they came from in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. We overturn and empty all cauldrons and chalices upon the heads of the conjurers and the magicians. We bind every order of magic and mystic arts. We bind Buddhist, black magic, Santeria, Kabbalah, Egyptian, Chaldean, Hindu, Indian, African, European, North American, South American, Celtic, Islander, indigenous groups, tribal groups, cults, covens, cabals, conclaves. We take authority, dominion, and power over any group whose motive and plan is to work against the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind false doctrines. We bind lies. We bind thievery in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind world domination in the name of Jesus Christ. We send it back on the heads of those who think that they can do that. We give you praise, glory, and honor, Father. For whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We bind all Morgellons attacks, and we return every attack to the senders. We bind Caribbean, Latin American, Jamaican, black, and white magic in Jesus' name. And Haitian, Dominican Republic magic in Jesus' name. We bind the culture of corruption worldwide. We bind all free-flying devils. We bind all evil spirits which take animal forms, all shape-shifting spirits, trapping them into their shifted form for eternity. We bind each demon responsible for the dominion of sin in our culture. We bind hyperactivity, racing mind, inattention, impulsivity, and low levels of dopamine. We bind the prince of the power of the air, and we return his powers to Jesus Christ. We bind the power of the dog and every abomination that's been committed. We bind the Lord of the flies and his agents, and we place them under the feet of the Lord Jesus. We bind the Mandela effect and all satanic ritual abuse devils, satanications, and all rituals done on the phases of the moon. We bind all formations of bullflies and demonic insects. We bind all spiders in their webs, trapping them in their own webs. We bind the transference of evil spirits, spirits of infirmity, spirits of supplanting, the gods of the people of the land, the gods of the groves, and every spirit that exalts science, logic, and human reasoning against the knowledge of God and makes man wise in his own eyes. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us that. We bind Mammon and his agents. We bind all demons sent forth to intimidate, harass, manipulate, lie against, mock, wear down, infect, destroy, spy, sabotage, hinder, besmirch, block, distract, confuse, pervert, stifle, curse, expose, stop, monitor, track, defile, corrupt, undermine, despise, bewitch, tranquilize, assassinate, divide, confound, attack, reproach, and reduce the effectiveness of the righteous in Christ Jesus. We bind the shedding of injected persons upon us. We return and loose these attacks to the senders according to the covenant in Jesus' name. We bind the bondage of generations of fools and the spirit of the fool in Jesus' name. We bind the carnal mind. We bind the fool's anger in Jesus' name. We bind food lust, addictions, gluttony, and false flags in the name of Jesus. We return to sender according to the covenant all and every reprisal, retribution, counterattack, psychic weapon, retaliation, all avenging, all blowbacks, all vengeance, blood rituals, every boomerang, each payback and all requiting of our righteous warfare in Jesus' name. This includes every evil work, mark, rite, ritual, ceremony, sacrifice, proclamation, backlash, pronouncement, vow, root work, or sin against us, astral projections, sending demons to us to work against us and against all that pertains to us. No demon, no wicked person, or unrighteous event left behind. Binding the inordinate use of conjugal rights, returning to sender or witchcraft attacks through channeling and the satellites against the website, the broadcast, and the app. Binding all abortions as a magical ritual. Returning to sender all Cameroonian wizardry, black magic, jujus, hexes, vexes, and such in Jesus' name. All tribal witchcraft, especially begun by a witch doctor or an obeda man, or a witch of distinction in Jesus' name. Returning all Chaldean witchcraft in the name of Jesus Christ. All their hexes, vexes, jinxes, all the other wickedness. Turning to sender all Mexican and Spanish witchcraft in Jesus' name. Returning to sender all occult and witchcraft activities from every coven cult, conclave, cabal, and the so-called planetary shift in Jesus' name. And all organizations coming under the head of the WHO, the WEF, the UN, the global elite, and the Illuminati in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Breaking and destroying our social, emotional, and psychological ties with food and drink which are displeasing to Jesus Christ, binding superficial religious acts and every act of sexual sin, binding magic spells for love, money, protection, black magic, white magic, candle magic, hoodoo, root work, lucky charms, high magic, and folk magic spells. Binding the demons of energies, boomeranging their wicked works upon them, binding on magical language, magic signs, magical patterns, even in numbering, binding synchrony, binding and caging Poseidon and stripping him of his crowns, powers, and thrones, transferring them to Jesus Christ, binding on conjurations and summonings of demons, binding Jewish black magic mysticism, magic writing, magic artifacts, binding the essence of magic and Jewish magic by practitioners, amulets, bowls, precious stones, incantations, divining practices, magic spells, and potions, binding all blockages to righteous spiritual reception in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Amen. We bind all vampire spirits, voodoo, hoodoo, ancient arts, mystic rituals, devils attending the New World Order, New Age movement, Great Reset, make-believe, fantasy, fables, enchantments, false religions, numerology, horoscopes, spirits and works of the oppressors, the spirit and the children of disobedience, martial arts, yoga, transcendental meditation, antichrist ideologies and doctrines, Ahab and Jezebelic spirits and practices, unlawful nudity, lewdness, perversions, the outworking of vain deceit, death spirits, spirits of destruction, chaos and mayhem, oppression, depression, anarchy, premonition, clairvoyance, ESP, telepathy, psychokinesis, out-of-body experiences, reincarnation, haunting, poltergeist, astral travel, psychic healing, demonic meditation, spirit guides, and defilement by wizards. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you very much. Praise the name of Jesus. We bind the king of pride and all of his underlings. We send you bound into the spiritual cage and to the feet of Jesus for judgment. We bind all human, demonic, blood, sexual, financial, animal, food, fecal, and soulish sacrifices in Jesus' name. Amen. We bind all devil attached to idols and idolatry. We bind every form of rebellion, idolatry, root work, mind control, apathy, unyielding, nature worship, deception, scoffing, error, worldly indoctrination, military spirit, idle mind, unfocused mind, abuse, all trolls, all fear, combative jealousy, fleshly ambition, the culture of corruption, weariness, betrayal, unfaithfulness, violence, and temptation to sin. In Jesus' name, we bind Belial, Beelzebub, Baal, Molech, Basilic, Python, Neptune, Zeus, Apollyon, Kali, all gods and goddesses, Osiris, Isis, On, all false deities, Mammon, Atlas, Baphomet, and 72, in the name of Jesus Christ. We send you chained into the spiritual cage and to the feet of Jesus for judgment. We undo the works of all demonic weapons, fireballs, poisons, voodoo pins and dolls, cold and hot spots, psychic weapons, prompters, codes, triggers, charms, tumors, designs, signals, and we return their afflictions to the worker of witchcraft and their pagan sources. We break the powers of every Masonic ritual, rite, ceremony, vow, pledge, and pact, and prayer. We bind the rituals, the brotherhood, the craft, the lodge, the worship, the grift, Freemasonry, their charters, the rituals of every secret society, and those of the affiliated organizations in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind every spirit that was familiar to the lay of their sins. We bind the insanity, pride, work of errors, and foolishness of our own opinions. We bind being misled, and we return and loose all the retaliations of the enemy upon his own head, according to the scriptures. We bind all traditions and customs rooted in sin. We denounce and renounce them all and loose ourselves from them. Father, we bind the works of those who work to bring honor to themselves. Amen. We bind the gang stalk and send their fear, harassment, and witchcraft back on their own heads, as well as their own mind control in Jesus' name. We bind the spirit of slumber. We thank you, Father, that you have given us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We rejoice with you that our names are written in heaven. We bind every spirit that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood atonement on the cross of Calvary. Father, we ask for eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to believe, minds to receive what the Spirit of God says to the church. We repent of an evil heart of unbelief, Father, and we ask you to teach us to guard our hearts with all diligence. Lord, we've come to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke and chain, and to call for justice and plead for truth. Lord, develop in us a love for the truth. Lead us into truth. Your word is truth. Make us to know the truth, and your truth will make us free. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him, binding all electromagnetic energy pollution, binding and returning to sender all electromagnetic witchcraft, binding magical fantasy movies and TV shows, binding the unreality of the Hallmark Channel shows and their escapism, binding the pathways to sins of the mind in Jesus' name, binding gloom, neurotic behaviors, anxiety, and depression in Jesus' name. Lord, we have come to celebrate the scriptures with you and to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. We will not turn back from pursuing the enemy until the Godhead does. The Lord Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief in whom we serve and obey. Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, all who are in authority and all true Christians everywhere, especially those that are in prison and those that are being persecuted and the January 6th prisoners. Lord, though we walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of our enemies, and your right hand shall save us. We command every demon that has followed us, hitchhiked on us, was sent to us, or transferred to us to be bound and leave us now in the name of Jesus Christ, even coming through the computer or through our cell phone. Father, in the name of Jesus, we cover ourselves in the blood of Jesus, and we cover our mode of transportation and the path of travel that we must take. We thank you, Lord, that you've already released your angels. And we take authority over any problems or issues or situations that could come up on the road, Father, that wet weather will not harm us. The weather will not be our enemy, nor reckless driving, nor falling asleep behind the wheel, nor any such thing, problem to us in Jesus' name. We bind it up now in the name of Jesus Christ. We cover ourselves and all of our property, Father, with the blood of Jesus. We take authority over demons that attack us in the day and the night, and bad dreams and night dreams and sex dreams and anything trying to get into our dreams. We command them to stay away. We forbid them to bother us. And we thank you, Lord, for the wall of fire that surrounds us with your glory in the midst. We thank you for warring, linking angels and their shields. We thank you for the praising angels, but most of all, we thank you for your holy presence in our midst. We pull out all fiery darts, pins, needles, spears, voodoo, anything, curses, and send it back in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind the devils in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep, and we close and seal every open door to the demons. We destroy, completely destroy, ungodly silver cords and ley lines and sever from ourselves all ungodly soul ties, attachments, covenants, agreements, oaths, consents, garlands, vows, pledges, pacts, leagues, and all of the forms of agreement with the demonic realm. Amen. We tear down and destroy walls of protection around shamans, globalists, witch doctors, nanotechnology, Satanists, wizards, warlocks, witches, sorcerers, divinators, and liars in the name of Jesus. We destroy the power of their charms, love spells, vexes, hexes, and curses, psychic thoughts and prayers, fetishes, voodoo, magic, sorcery, destruction, sickness, pain, torment, psychic power, and psychic warfare, incense and candle burnings, incantations, chanting, channeling, crystals, root works, hoodoo, tribal rituals, and sin. We do not receive it, Father. We reject it in the name of Jesus Christ. And we return to sender. Spirits of hate, bitterness, murder, envy, jealousy, wizardry, sorcery, wicked power, in Jesus' name. Spirits of sin, blindness, bondage, heaviness, fear, and hate. We thank you, Lord, that you will heal us and make us whole. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So tonight, our featured proverb is Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. Amen. And our verse for meditation comes from the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 12, verse 57. Luke chapter 12, verse 57. Our featured ebook is Value of the Blood of Jesus Bible Study. Now, saints, you need to read this book. It can save your life. You need to read this book. Amen. Amen. We're going to talk about our open gate.
Yes.
Our open gate. And hopefully, I won't miss any scripture. Praise the Lord. Amen. Our open gate. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Saints, I want you to know something. Satan gains access into our mind through our eye gate and our ear gate. Satan gains access into our minds through our eye gate and ear gate. Satan's major strategy in luring and seducing us into temptation is to gain access into our minds through the eye gate and the ear gate, through what we see and hear. King David was one of the most powerful men of God in the Bible. And in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, Acts chapter 13, verse 22, it says the following. And when he had removed him, speaking of King Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave their testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. God said that. Amen. All righty. Good. So, David, King David, was one of the most powerful men of God in the Bible. God says he's a man after his own heart, a man who had won many great battles. This great man of God, this powerful man of God, fell into Satan's trap through temptation and brought destruction upon his household. Satan's strategy is to catch us off guard and unprepared for his attack. He will often tempt us after we have experienced a great spiritual victory. Well, this was the case with King David. He was tempted at a time of prosperity in the kingdom. That's right. When things are going rough, you're usually on your guard more. But when life gets a little better, you don't pray as much, you don't praise as much, you're not as alert, and Satan is waiting for his opportunity. Amen? Praise God. He was about 50 years old at the time and had been reigning in Jerusalem as king for about 12 years, subdued his enemies, and had returned in great triumph. At the time appointed for him to go out into battle, David tarried in Jerusalem He stayed home. Instead of going with his army into battle, he sent Joab, his servants, and all of Israel out into battle while he remained in Jerusalem. David fought and won many great battles, and he decided it was time to let down his guard and relax. Well, say no demilitarized zone here. Satan is here. We are here. There is no demilitarized zone. In our spiritual warfare against Satan, there is no time for us to relax or let down our guard. In our spiritual warfare against Satan, there is no time for us to relax or let down our guard. Because he's waiting for you to do that. The moment we begin to relax, to let down in our prayer time, stop reading the word, stop watching for Satan's strategies, Satan will seize the opportunity to attack us. This is exactly what happened to King David. King David faced Satan, the tempter, when he was up on his rooftop and he saw, that's the eye gate, he saw a woman washing herself. Women been washing themselves for a long time. David had wine. He was not unaware that women took baths. This was not some unusual occurrence. Amen? And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Well, this is not the first beautiful woman that David had ever seen either. Satan gained entrance into David's mind through the eye gate, what he saw with his eye. Satan placed a temptation in front of David that aroused a desire within him. As David continued to look upon the woman, he desired to have her for himself. Satan deceived and enticed David by making him think that the pleasure and satisfaction he would receive from this illicit affair would be greater than it actually was. And it was there on the rooftop where David actually committed the sin of adultery in his mind and heart. Amen. In his mind and heart. Exodus chapter 20, verse 14. Exodus chapter 20, verse 14. Thou shalt not commit adultery. God said that. As a matter of fact, he wrote it on stone with his own finger twice. So it would seem that God is very committed to this commandment. He's very, very, very committed to it. He says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Period. And he means it. David actually committed the sin of adultery in his mind and heart. That's where it starts. This sin was later manifested in his actions when he sent for Bathsheba. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. That's the God point of view. Remember, the wages of sin is death. All right, let's go to the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. We're going to verse 27. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Whosoever looketh to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Jesus Christ speaking. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11, beginning with verse 3. 2 Samuel chapter 11, beginning with verse 3. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. Let me say this. Don't think that you're above it. The Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked. You can know it. The minute you start to think that you're above it and that it could never in a million years happen to you, you stop paying attention, and you stop looking for Satan to try you that way. And when you stop doing that, he's ready to go for it. Okay? So don't ever think you're above it. You're human. You're dust, just like everybody else. Corruption has touched your life, just like everyone else down here. See, when you say to yourself, oh, I could never do that, the devils are listening. All right, saint? Okay, let's remember that. Let's remember that. Amen. Let's remember that. Today, there are Christians falling into temptation, living defeated lives in bondage to the desires and lust of their flesh because they have given Satan access into their minds through the eye gate and the ear gate. Satan's strategy is to fill the minds of Christians so full of temptation that the desires of their carnal flesh will be aroused until it is manifested in their actions, until they yield their will to the lust of the flesh and sin against God. Remember, Satan is limited in the temptations he places before you. God will not allow him to tempt you above what you are able to bear. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to mankind. Amen? But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Not only does God limit the temptation Satan places before you, but with every temptation, regardless of whether it's sexual or not, he has promised a way out that you will be strong, powerful, and patiently able to bear up under it. Amen? I want you to remember that now. God's purpose for allowing Satan to tempt and test you is that you will be perfectly and fully developed, lacking in nothing. Lacking in nothing. Let's go to the book of James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Amen. James chapter 1. Now, saints, some of you have lived quite long enough to know what several of your areas of temptation are. So, when we're seeking the Lord, you go into your prayer closet, then cover those areas in prayer. Cover those areas. Don't just take them for granted, oh, I don't do that anymore. No. You have a track record in the devil's department. Your sins have been washed away, but he knows the track record from your ancestors and you. And he hasn't finished trying you. Amen? That's the way the devil is. He thinks you've forgotten about it, and he'll come try you again. All right? That's the way he is. Amen. James chapter 1, beginning with verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Thank you, Jesus. But let patience have her perfect work. It's a perfecting work. It's a perfecting work. It means it's maturing you, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Amen. It's a perfecting work. a maturing work. Your attitude, as you are being tested, tempted, and tried by Satan, should not be one of failure or defeat, but one of victory, knowing that God has provided a way of escape, giving you the powerful weapons of warfare and anointed you with the power of the Holy Spirit and given you power over all the power of the enemy. So you must move into action and you must resist the enemy. That's right. That's the truth. You must resist. You can't just sit there and let the devil pound on you and beat you to mush. You just can't do that. So let's go down in James a little further. Amen. We'll get there in a second, I think. Amen. James chapter 1, beginning with verse 12. We'll go ahead and do this. Verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. God can't be tempted with evil, and God does not use evil to tempt us. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Own desire is the bait. Satan provides the enticement. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, just as it did with King David. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Amen. Words to remember. We are tempted when we are drawn away by our own carnal desires. Remember we had that long talk not too long ago about carnality? If we allow Satan to fill our minds with thoughts that continually feed these desires, we will eventually yield our will to those desires and sins will be conceived in our hearts and minds, even before the sin manifests itself in our actions. Now, saints, if you'll be honest and truthful with yourself, you will acknowledge that this is truly what does happen. It starts in our hearts and minds. And once it gets started, if we don't shut it down, it goes to completion. Amen? And not just sexually. There are other things. There are so many other things. But this is how it happens. Okay? Go here. So you decide that you're depressed and you feel downtrodden that day. And you just got off work and you've been paid. So it's not that you need to buy one more thing. No, you go shopping on account of your flesh. And then you spot something that you know you probably should not purchase. Amen? You already know that when you see it. The longer you stand there and look at it, and think about it, and meditate on it, and see yourself with it, And you know how that works. The more you convince yourself that you deserve it, you've worked hard, you've earned it, you ought to get it, you look at the price tag, and you know it's a bit beyond your means. But you have stood there and almost salivated over it, whatever it is. And you have decided that that ought to be yours. You're hooked. That's it. You're goner. Even if you manage to walk away, get back in your vehicle and go home, you will go home with whatever that was still in your mind all the way home, all the way there. After you get there, after you prepare dinner, after you get ready, after you eat it, when you're finished, as you eat dessert, you'll still be thinking about it. When you go to bed, it'll still be on your mind. And that's the way it works. So now think about it. How many times have you done that? Think about it. There's all kinds of temptation. Every temptation is not sexual. Temptations are everywhere all the time. Amen. So we have to be real about this, you know? We can't pretend that they don't exist. And see, that's what some people do. They try to pretend that temptations don't exist, but they do. And the devil will use just about anything. He doesn't, you know, he's not all that selective. He'll try anything he can try. So, the Bible says, there are many Christians who've been deceived into thinking that as long as they do not outwardly sin by their actions, that they have not sinned. Wrong. They allow their minds to be filled with all sorts of evil desires and longings. And they do not do anything about them. They do not bind them at all. They do not use 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. They don't use the blood either. They just sit there and just keep meditating on it and keep thinking about it. Okay, saints, that's not what we teach you here. Sin is conceived in your heart and mind. Yes, it is. That's where the action is. We just saw that. In Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 28, Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 28, but I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body cast into hell. Praise the Lord. Amen. This is the word. When we allow our hearts and minds to be filled with impure thoughts, evil desires, lust of the flesh, and entertain these thoughts, we have already sinned. Just as if we had outwardly committed the act. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning with verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning with verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Where are these strongholds? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bind every thought. Discipline yourself. Bind every thought in Jesus' name. Yes, it can be done. Oh, yes, it can be done. Step by step, Satan lures us through temptation into his trap. He baits us by placing some form of temptation that arouses a desire within us. We become tempted when we are drawn away by our own evil desire. And the desire at that time may not appear to be evil to us, but it works evil in our lives if we continue with it. Mm-hmm. Sin is conceived in our hearts and minds when we yield our will. See, your will is involved. When we yield our wills to our desires and entertain those desires in our minds, sin manifests itself through our actions. Sin brings death. There is no trial too great, no temptation too strong that Satan can use that will destroy you if you face him from a position of knowing that God has given you the ability to walk in 100% victory during every testing, every trial, and every temptation that the tempter will use against you. That's right. If you face him from a position of knowing that God has given you the ability to walk in 100% victory during every testing, every trial, and every temptation that the tempter will use against you. Jesus destroyed the works of Satan in your life, including the power of sin, which once ruled over your will and held you in its grasp. You are no longer bound to the desires of your fleshly, carnal nature. You have the power. That's right. Jesus gave it to you. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power. You know, somebody said, well, you can't help who you fall in love with. I don't believe that, and it's really not the truth. First of all, you have control over who you communicate with. You have control over who you listen to. You have control over who you receive and who you reject. You have control over whether you continue the fellowship or relationship or communication with that individual or that entity. You have control. You have control. You can have the ability by the act of your own will to decide that you don't want to go any further in that relationship. You can decide at any given moment to walk away and to never return to. You have the ability to decide if you want to continue to care for that person. You have the ability to say, I don't think so, and make it stick. You have the ability to tell your own self no and make it stick. You have power over your own choices. So you see, you can help who you so-called fall in love with. Why? Because you sit there and convince yourself that this person is this and that and this and that and that that is desirable and that you want it and on and on and on. You talk yourself into that. You don't fall. You deceive your own self sometimes. Sometimes it's real and sometimes it's not. Think about it. You sit there and talk yourself in your own thoughts into that whole situation. And when you decide you don't want to be bothered anymore, you talk yourself right out of it too. So, yes, you can help who you're attracted to. Not only that, now, you've been taught spiritual warfare. You can destroy that thing in less than a minute. It doesn't even take a whole 60 seconds. You can put it to death at the onset. Amen. Praise the Lord. So all of that stuff about you can't help who you for, that is just not the truth. I wish people would learn to tell the truth. I really do. It would help them in the long run. Amen. It would help them in the long run. I really do wish people would tell the truth. Amen. Amen. You do have control. I'm not going to go on to the rest of this tonight because we have plenty to think about already. We got plenty to think about already to another part of this, but I decided, and the Holy Spirit says he agreed. So we're going to pause it right there on that part. Amen. We'll pick that up whenever the Lord says to. Now, I want you to think about what we've talked about tonight, saints, because it's important. God is not bringing to our attention the subject of temptations for no reason. In other words, he's giving us a heads up. If you haven't noticed already, it's coming your way. So what are you going to do about it? Now, that is up to you because you've already been trained to the level to know what to do and to execute it. If you don't sit there and play and tiddlywit around with your own flesh. Amen? And that's the truth of the matter. But you see, some of us are so flattened that somebody would breathe three words in our direction. You know, flattery really isn't what it seems to be, to tell you the truth. Some of us want to pretend, oh, I love Jesus, I love Jesus, I love Jesus, but I want a man, but I want a woman, but I want a man, but I want a woman, but I want a man, but I want a woman. I've seen it all. Do not lie to yourself. If the real reason you came to Jesus was to get a man or to get a woman, you need to come clean with the Lord and clean with yourself. You need to not sit there and tell yourself this big lie. Why? Because the lie is going to manifest. It's going to rise to the surface. I've watched it happen more than once. And you said, well, that church must not have been teaching them there. That is not the truth. I was sitting on the same pew in the same church, okay? And, yes, we were being taught. But you see, what you're taught, you have to apply. Oh, mm-hmm. What you are taught, you have to apply. So I'm going to tell you. I don't know what it is the devil will use to tempt any one of us, but he's planning an attack. And this is our heads up, and we need to act like we heard from God. Amen? And we need to get in our prayer closets and take this serious. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, God is good, saints. He's good all the time. Good. He's good all the time. But you got to tell the truth. I find out that Christians slip up the most because either they're so busy, so preoccupied with something else, that they don't notice the enemy creeping up on them, or else when they see it, they just blow it off and say, oh, that's not that. That's just, you know, that's just nothing. And it doesn't work that way. You have to learn to tell the truth. Okay? You know, you at work and somebody hitting on you. Oh, that's just nothing. No, you go into warfare right then. Because you know what that is. You were not born last week. And even if it was a joke, you need to shut it down in the realm of the spirit right there. Because words are spirit. And the enemy can't wait to grab something to make it manifest. So you don't just sit there and act like you didn't hear that. You deal with it. You give it a death blow right then. Amen? See, we have to be truthful. We have to learn to want to be truthful. Truthful with ourselves and truthful with God. So when whoever it is comes over to the coffee machine and starts their little, you know, they little act, it's time right then to say, you know something, I am so happily married. I hope one day, if that's what you desire, that you find the person that God has for you. Hello? Amen. Do you need to go out to the restaurant after work with the gang, with that person in it? No, you need to get in your ride and go home. I don't care if your stomach is growling. Drink water. You'll do fine. We got that now, Saint? We got it? All right. Your situation may not be sexual. It may be something else. But you still have to render it a death blow at the onset. And right after you win a victory is when the enemy sets you up for the next thing. Amen. Praise God. I'm so glad we got that settled. I am so glad. We got that settled. So now everybody understands how it's really going down, okay? So God is blessing us with some truth. Okay, with some truth here. So we can put it to practical use in our lives. Amen? The enemy is going to do everything he can do to keep you from going to the other side of the pearly gates, to you, to use the power that Jesus has given you to shut him down. Okay? All right. We all got that. Good. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is an interesting one. One thing about it, you cannot say that if you actually live the true Christian life, that it's boring. It is not. It's full of excitement. Why? It was designed to be exciting. Something's always happening. Father, we thank you for the word tonight. We thank you for the reminder. We thank you for calling us to attention. We thank you for reminding us of how this actually does work. Regardless to what kind of temptation it is, it all works the same. Amen? Amen. We love you, Lord. And, dun, 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 dun. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. We are requesting adjudication from the righteous judge concerning. In an announcement on Friday, July 12th, AT&T said that they had discovered a data breach in April involving an unauthorized download of data from a third-party cloud platform that affects nearly all of its customers. That's a lot of people. The telecommunications company said in a statement they had since launched an investigation and enlisted the help of cybersecurity experts to assess the breach's scope and nature. The company added that they had confirmed the data access point used to obtain the information had been secured. And AT&T is working with law enforcement, resulting in at least one arrest. Protecting your data is one of our top priorities, the company said. Well, what else can they say? In a separate post on a website set up to answer questions customers may have about the leak, we hold ourselves to a high standard and commit to delivering the experience that you deserve. You know they have people to make this stuff up. You do know that. We constantly evaluate and enhance our security to address changing cybersecurity threats and work to create a secure environment for you. We invest in our network security using a broad array of resources, including people, capital, and innovative technology advances. Well, if that's the case, then how did the breach happen? The breach compromised records of calls and texts for nearly all AT&T cellular customers, as well as customers of mobile virtual network operators using AT&T's wireless network. So if you have one of these little companies that's not a big company and they tap into AT&T's wireless network in the process of doing whatever business, you're subject to. And that's not all. AT&T landline customers, you thought you got out of it, who interacted with those cellular numbers, the company said. That's a lot of people. The affected period spans from May 1st, 2022 to October 31st, 2022, with additional records from January 2nd, 2023, for a small number of customers also being leaked. The compromised data includes telephone numbers involved in interactions and, for some records, cell site identification numbers. The data does not contain the content of calls or texts, personal information, such as social security number, dates of birth, or other personally identifiable information, the company's statement explains. Yes, they have to do whatever the lawyer says to do. It also does not include some typical information you see in your usage details, such as the timestamp of calls or texts. While the data does not include customers' names, there are often ways using publicly available online tools to find the name associated with a specific telephone number. The company added that it does not believe the compromised data is publicly available. Look, folks, it was on the dark web. They can say what they believe if they want, but the stuff was on the dark web. All right, let's get down to a little bit more truth. AT&T plans to notify affected current and former customers and provide resources to help protect their information. Our top priority, as always, is our customers, the company added, and their money. We will provide notice to current and former customers whose information was involved, along with the resources to help protect their information. We sincerely regret this incident occurred and remain committed to protecting the information in our care. In late March, AT&T disclosed another significant data breach involving the leak of information of approximately 73 million current and former account holders. The data, which appeared on the dark web around mid-March, includes details from 7.6 million current and 65.4 million former customers, likely from 2019 or earlier. Compromised information varies, but may include passcodes, full names, email addresses, home addresses, phone numbers, dates of birth, and social security numbers. AT&T said at the time that they had reset passcodes for the affected current account holders and were offering identity theft and credit monitoring services to those whose sensitive personal information was compromised. The company is working with external cybersecurity experts to investigate the breach and has found no evidence of unauthorized access to its system. AT&T also stated that the compromised data does not include personal financial information or call history. The origin of the leaked data remains uncertain, and it is unclear whether it is related to a 2021 claim by the hacker group Shiny Hunters, who previously alleged they had obtained data impacting 71 million AT&T customers. Despite the breach, AT&T reported no material impact on its operations. So, we want to thank the righteous judge for his adjudications on every aspect and facet of this continuing situation in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, that's a lot of money. Yeah, they say clouds exist so that they can't be breached, but obviously they were not telling the truth. As we know, that's how that works in our society. Mm-hmm. You say, this is what they do. They say what they say to keep the money rolling in. That's the way it works. So we are requesting adjudications from the righteous judge concerning the CIA controls a significant part of the arms trade black market. Now, I have to say something here. There's certain information pertaining to this particular article that I can't share with you because it's in a chart or some other kind of data like that that I can't replicate for you. And there are also certain things that were on those charts or statements that the Holy Spirit has said I should not share over the airway, okay? So I'm going to need you to be patient here and sort of understand what's going on, all right? Okay. So the CIA controls a significant part of the arms trade black market. Millions of dollars are being spent on financing terrorist groups and political radicals around the globe. Biden has already allocated more than $50 billion for purchasing weapons for Ukraine. We know that the vast part of this money ends up in the pockets of corrupt CIA agents and officials bribed by them and are also spent on other illegal activities. In the first part of our investigation, we publish a list of the CIA agents who are involved in corrupt schemes for weapon supply to hotspots all around the world. We want their activity to become public and be thoroughly investigated. The U.S. foreign policy should emphasize peace with all nations, entangling alliances with none. America is the land of opportunity. This phrase fully describes our nation. America gives an opportunity for every person not only to achieve anything they put their mind to, but also reach a mighty power and get filthy rich. I must have missed that last part. Despite the fact that it is not customary to speak about it, but in most cases, people assume such power through deception and hypocrisy. They serve as heads of serious departments, using their posts to manipulate the American taxpayers' money. Oh, really? Yes. Really? Today, we'd like to tell you a dizzying story about a yoga teacher, Shonda Creasy, whose enlightenment path took her to a top secret CIA unit responsible for weapon supplies to militants in Africa and Middle East, receiving millions of dollars in kickbacks. But first, let's start our story with Shonda's yoga personal website, where she tells fascinating fairy tale about her meeting with yoga while serving as a Peace Corps volunteer in Ethiopia. You probably didn't know that Ethiopia is the best place to experience yoga, as well as meditation under scorching African sun without a hat, will make you reach Satchidananda in a fastest way. Then I've been in the African sun with no hat. And if you got half a brain, you'll get out of that sun. Literally. One brain cell is all you need. Shonda has also studied with numerous master teachers and is certified at the 500-hour level with both Shiva Re and Shri Kali Tantra Ashram in Goa, India. She deep into yoga, okay? She way out there. To cut a long story short, after that Ethiopian trip, Chandra realized she wanted to be associated with spiritual practices on all of her chakras, as well as become the symbol of love and harmony.
Mm-hmm.
Most likely, no one will argue that if a person does something well, there's nothing shameful in making a profit from it. All you got to do is promote yourself on social media platforms. However, for a high-quality yoga coach, Chandra leads a hidden way of life. Perhaps she became one of those lucky ones who realized that money can't make people happy, and fasting practices would make her indifferent to primitive human needs. However, it seems that Chandra does conduct yoga class. According to her website, every wayward soul may visit her lessons twice a week at the Studio DC in Washington. The only embarrassing thing is that a couple of hours at yoga classes is pretty enough for Chandra, not only to defray cost of food, clothing, and other expenses, but also live in an apartment for several hundred thousand dollars, located a few minutes away from the CIA office in Washington, D.C., as well as visit Africa from time to time. I smell a rat. Another remarkable thing is that the Studio DC stopped its classes in about 2017. All kidding aside, we know that Chandra Creasy is a very influential CIA officer. Her main activity is focused on the detailed study of Africa and maintenance of trouble spots on the continent and in Arab countries. And this whole yoga story is nothing but a cover-up. The fact every intelligence agency has operatives who literally live a double life. Their families and friends may consider them as yoga teachers, although they work for the U.S. government. Such covers are necessary so that a spy can engage in recruitment activities abroad without attracting any attention at home. That was the case of Chandra Creasy. In order to avoid being exposed, Chandra tries to stick to her Facebook cover by pretending to be a civilian. In doing so, she has deleted most of the information, leaving some posts and photos that give the impression that Chandra is an average person who likes to travel and explore new dimensions of our world. The first thing catches the eye is the post where she warns her friends that she will be out of touch for a while. Very soon, Chandra will be going on another secret mission to recruit leaders of criminal gangs in Africa. We recognize the fact that the described evidence doesn't prove Chandra's involvement with the CIA. Unfortunately, we can't publish all the information on her activity, as that would endanger our whistleblowers. Nevertheless, the following information may convince you that Chandra Creasy is not the person she pretends to be. We're not going to recount Chandra's whole life, but move straight to the most interesting details of her career. Around 2009, Chandra Creasy was appointed as Foreign Service Officer by the U.S. Department of State. This is confirmed by the information on the U.S. Congress website. Why do we think she got the position? Because fairly soon, Creasy goes on a, quote, business trip to Nairobi under diplomatic. Her residential address was 8900 Nairobi Place, Washington, D.C., 20521, U.S. Embassy in Nairobi. Under the guise of maintaining contacts with the Somalia leadership, Chandra seeks out officials and government-affiliated terrorist leaders in order to establish arms supplies channels for the CIA. In late 2014, Agent Creasy moves to 9300 Pretoria Place, Dulles, Virginia, the embassy in Pretoria, South Africa, under the diplomatic cover of a political affairs officer, which is usually held by CIA officers overseas. She also looked for contacts with terrorists and local authorities. She also visited a policy briefings and advice to decision makers with the topic, the threat of terrorism in Southern Africa and assessing the threat of radicalization in South Africa. It's a little out of character for a yoga instructor, isn't it? By the way, in 2016, the Studio DC Facebook group posted that Chandra Creasy had returned to DC after, that's the District of Columbia, after 2 years of living in South Africa. So, you still believe in coincidences? Agent Creasy was also seen in a photo made by the South African Record on July 15, 2015, during the Mandela Day event in Pretoria, which was also attended by High Commission of Jamaica, the Embassy of Morocco, and High Commission of Botswana. During the event, Agent Creasy participated in painting girls' bathrooms, planting new crops of spinach, beetroot, and carrot seeds. Although you can't view it, there is a program of Chandra Creasy's presentation in Africa from the King's College, London, which organizes classes for the Five Eyes Intelligence Alliance officers. On November 3rd, 2015, Chandra Creasy also participated in the seminar called Horn of Africa Seminar, Customary Law in Somalia and Its Implications for State Building at St. Anthony's College, University of Oxford, UK, as a KCL speaker. By the way, congratulations to Chandra on successful completion of KCL's War Studies course in February 2020. As part of the study, she wrote an analytical piece entitled African Political Philosophy and Comparative Perspective, Somali Notions of Justice and Social and the Social Contract. At least until 2021, Chandra traveled to some other African countries. She was also an advisor to Fourth Director of National Intelligence, Lieutenant General James R. Clapper. Really? Mm-hmm. Most interestingly, now Chandra serves as a special assistant to the CIA Director on Global Operations in Washington, solving issues related to supplies of various kinds of weapons to terrorists in Africa and the Middle East. Because of people like Chandra Creasy, hunger, murders, and violence continue to prevail in those regions. Given that Chandra likely believes in karma, on behalf of African children, we say hello to Agent Creasy by sending this material to every organization that protects the rights and freedoms of the black people all around the world. We also call on the U.S. Congress to initiate an investigation into this issue and punish all persons involved in these criminal activities. So we've told you about Chandra Creasy, a courageous yoga coach who had previously managed to work with the militants in Africa, making her way up to the position of Special Assistant to CIA Director on Global Operations. Recently, we found new details of Chandra's trip to Somalia in 2009, corroborating our assumptions about her role as a case officer who maintained arms, money supplies for warlords. First of all, it is worth saying that the CIA began its expansion in Somalia around the 1960s using an extensive set of tools of political influence, such as kidnapping, operating black sites, promoting Somali politicians, and funding warlords. Specifically, the last point was seen as a way to avoid resending American troops after the Black Hawk Down incident. You remember that one, don't you? The CIA's first attempts to form a combat-compatible unit in Somalia were recorded back in the 2000s. The agency's efforts led to the creation of the so-called Alliance for the Restoration of Peace and Counterterrorism in 2006 to fight Islamic militant groups. According to the International Crisis Group, CIA funneled from 100,000 to 150,000 a month to the ARPCP leadership. Woo! That's a lot. Despite decent funding and supplies, however, the ARPCP was crushed by the Islamic Courts Union. ICU, another militant group in Somalia whose leadership had previously been found to have ties to Al-Qaeda. No, we did not borrow this from James Bond. It also should be noted that right after the defeat of most ARPCT warlords immediately swore allegiance to their opponents. Given that the ICU's goal to build a Sharia law state resonated strongly with the local population, such a scenario was totally expected, but not for the CIA leadership, who apparently still believed that money alone could ensure victory on the battlefield. After it became clear that ARPCT project was a complete failure, the CIA switched to financing another militant group in Somalia, Ahulu Suna Waljama, ASWJ. Cursory study shows that ASWJ was formed in 1991 as an opposition to Salafists in Somalia, such as Al-Shabaab, an Al-Qaeda branch. The group opposed hardline capital punishment, stonings, limb amputation, as well as banning music. One might get the impression of these militants as moderate Muslims. However, if you read local media, which is almost non-existent there, the situation appears much different. For example, Somali, that's their newspaper, claimed that ASWJ killed many young people under the pretext that they were Al-Shabaab sympathizers. The media also stated that ASWJ militants didn't observe neither the Islamic ethics of war nor any other conventions such as Geneva Convention. I was shocked to see ASWJ's fighters dragging many corpses of Al-Shabaab fighters in the dusty streets. These dead bodies were left at the city center to rot. ASWJ do not observe neither the Islamic ethics of war nor any other convention. In 2011, the UN Special Representative of the Secretary General reported that there have been numerous cases of using child soldiers by ASWJ and the TFG in their fight against terrorists. So it appears that ASWJ militants were not inherently different from Al-Shabaab terrorists after all. Both groups use Islam as a bargaining chip to expand their political influence in Somalia. According to our source, it was also common for these two groups' members to switch sides from time to time. There was also nothing wrong for ASWJ commanders to cooperate with the ICU. Having previously been recruited by the CIA, one of ASWJ leaders, Mohammed Dahir, closely and according to Max Planck Institute of Social Anthropology, was on good terms with the ICU leader, Sharif Ahmed, whatever it is, Sheikh Ahmed. Later, Mohammed Dahir joined the ARPCT and waged war against his friend. However, after the defeat, the CIA sent his spy back to the ASWJ. The agency also did not hesitate in thoughtless waste of money on ASWJ, completely forgetting the lesson learned from confronting the ICU. That's why almost similar story happened with ASWJ. By June 2009, Al-Shabaab nearly captured the capital, and millions of dollars in ASWJ training and equipment seemed to vanish in the haze. In this regard, the CIA has requested emergency assistance from the Pentagon to equip ASWJ with U.S. guns. But how could this be done, given that Congress would never have authorized arms shipments to such dubious militants as the ASWJ? It was necessary for the CIA to find a reasonable argument for such step, and it was found. Oh, yes, it was found. On June 21st, 2009, the TFG and the ASWJ leaders signed an agreement on mutually beneficial cooperation, under which ASWJ will fight against Al-Shabaab if they're given certain ministerial posts in the cabinet and a number of MPs in the federal parliament. 5 days later, on June 26, 2009, Reuters reported that the Pentagon had delivered 40 tons of weapons and ammunition to the TFG army, the whole size of which was equal to two U.S. battalions. Eventually, after 3 years of confrontation and with the support of the U.S. military, Al-Shabaab's influence in the region was significantly diminished, finally allowing the CIA to install a legitimate, quote, federal government. The official ceremony included Somali president's visit to his patrons at the State Department, where he was warmly welcomed by then U.S. Secretary of State, you ready for it, Hillary Clinton. And now for the most interesting part, Chandra's role in this whole story. We've obtained a diptel from the CIA station in Kenya dated July 17, 2009. The cable was a vetting request for specific ASWJ field commanders. According to the message, these warlords were supposed to facilitate the Somali transitional federal government possible future provision of U.S. origin security assistance to ASWJ. The cable provided last name, first name, date of birth, and job title of field commanders. Among them, we found Mohammed Dahir, CIA-backed ARPCT commander, and close friends to you bosses. That time, the agency put him to the second most important position in the entire ASWJ structure. The funny thing is that the post has found no derogatory information on these individuals. True professionals indeed. And who do you think was the contact person in Somalia? Who oversaw the whole thing? It was already familiar to us, Chandra Creasy, a yoga master from Washington, D.C. What a coincidence! So as you can see, the war on terrorism declared in 2000 is not always aimed at destroying these same terrorists. In many cases, this is a sample and convenient pretext to invade a third world country and install a puppet government there. And Somalia is the best example of it. Nowadays, the CIA doesn't even hide the fact that the Somali government is completely under agency's control. A few months ago, CIA Director William Burns visited Somalia, where he discussed with the same president, Hassan Sheikh Mohammed, regional issues of mutual interest and enhancing Somalia-U.S. strategic partnership in critical areas, including the fight against international terrorism. Their joint photo clearly shows what they think of constant civilian casualties and millions of dollars wasted. So we want to thank the righteous judge for his adjudication on every single aspect, including every monetary contribution in this matter. Amen, Lord. We give you the praise. We are requesting adjudications from the righteous judge concerning top UN human rights experts called on Western weapons corporations to stop sending arms to Israel, saying they could be complicit in war crimes. Asset managers like BlackRock and Wall Street banks are also profiting. Top UN human rights experts have called on Western weapons corporations to stop sending arms to Israel. Yeah, again, arguing they could be complicit in war crimes. Mm-hmm, that's right. UN experts also warned that asset managers like BlackRock and Wall Street banks may be profiting from Israel's brutal war on Gaza. This was stated in a press release published by the Office of the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights. The transfer of weapons and ammunition to Israel may constitute serious violations of human rights and international humanitarian laws and risk state complicity in international crimes, possibly including genocide, UN experts said today, reiterating their demand to stop transfers immediately, the press release said.
My.
As arms manufacturers that could be complicit, the UN human rights experts mentioned BAE Systems, Boeing, Caterpillar, General Dynamics, Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, Rheinmetall AG, Rolls-Royce Power System, RTX, and ThyssenKrupp. The UN experts likewise named Western financial companies that have significantly invested in the arms industry, including Alfred Krupp, von Bohlen, und Halbach, whatever that means. Amundi Asset Management. Now, for the ones you're more familiar with, Bank of America, BlackRock, Capital Group. Capital Group? Yeah, the ones with the commercial on the TV all the time. What's in your wallet? Causeway Capital Management, Citigroup. Ah, I missed that, Lord. Fidelity Management and Research. Co. Limited, J.P. Morgan Chase, Harris Associates, Morgan Stanley, Norges Bank Investment Management, Newport Group, Ravenswing Asset Management, State Farm Mutual Automobile Insurance, State Street Corporation, Union Investment Private Fund, Vanguard Group, Wellington, and Wells Fargo and Company. My, that was a good commercial, Lord, wasn't it? Failure to prevent or mitigate their business relationships with these arms manufacturers transferring arms to Israel could move from being directly linked to human rights abuses to contributing to them. Repercussions for complicity in potential atrocity crimes, the experts said, the press release stated. The United States sent Israel $3.8 billion in military aid every year before the Gaza War broke out in October 2023. Since then, Washington has shifted. billions more in arms and ammunition. President Joe Biden claimed that if Israel invaded Rafah, the Gaza city where approximately 1 million Palestinian civilians were concentrated, it would cross a red line and he would stop supporting Tel Aviv. Well, guess what? The U.S. president lied. Didn't he say right after that debate that he knows how to tell the truth? Well, guess what? The U.S. president lied. However, and approved another $1 billion in arms and ammo after Israel attacked Rafah. The U.S. provides 65.6% of weapons exports to Israel, followed by Germany at 29.7% and Italy at 4.7%. Big banks on Wall Street have helped Israel to fund its war on Gaza. In March, BNP Paribas, Bank of America, Deutsche Bank, and Goldman Sachs underwrote $8 billion in bonds for Israel. The mud-raking website Wall Street on Parade noted, supplementing bond underwriting by megabanks on Wall Street, Israel owns its own broker-dealer in the United States, the Development Corporation for Israel, also known simply as Israel Bonds. Various iterations of the corporation operate in Germany, England, Canada, and elsewhere. According to its website, global sales of Israel bonds have exceeded $1 billion in each of the past 4 years. Since October, numerous U.S. state governments, run by both Republicans and Democrats, have bought hundreds of millions of dollars of Israel bonds. Asset managers on Wall Street have similarly faced scrutiny for their investments in Israel. As it carries out what the International Criminal Court has referred to as war crimes and crimes against humanity. Activists in New York City held protests outside BlackRock's headquarters in November, accusing the firm of profiting from Israel's crimes. BlackRock is the world's largest investment company, with $10.5 trillion in assets under management. BlackRock has operated in Israel since 2016 and strongly encourages investments there. So we want to thank the righteous judge for his adjudications concerning such. Amen. We want to thank the righteous judge for his adjudications concerning such. Amen. We have a good God. He watches over us. Amen. I'm so glad. I am really quite pleased with the Lord. Well, Brother Marshall, what can we say? It's time to pray. I hope you have enough to pray about tonight.
Considering it all joy. When you fall into various trials and temptations. Thank you, Lord, for here for such a time as this. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it astonishing? I think Tammy was right. Truth is stranger than fiction. Father, you know what everyone is thinking, and you know who's controlling them. I believe you said in your word in Timothy, I think it's the end of 1 Timothy, love of money is the root of all evil. Oh, my goodness. When Adam and Eve sinned, I don't think it was a love of money per se, but they thought they could have something that looked good, and maybe it would taste good, and make you what? Oh, wise like us little gods, small g, you know, like the yoga gods, little gods, you know, the ones in the chakras, and all, the little gods. Satan, you're bound. Every spirit of idolatry is bound from a position seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according to Ephesians 2:6, according to Proverbs 18:10, for the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Because, Jesus, your name is the name above all names, at whose name every knee must bow. Not just the people of Black Rock, not just all these people, all these different warlords in Somalia and every place, all these different people, Father God, including the people at AT&T who are so concerned about their customers. Forgive me, Father. Forgive me for anything I've done, going with AT&T briefly. Father, forgive us all. Those people who can repent, send the Holy Ghost to bring conviction, Father God. He told us to pray for those that despitefully use us. Those that are still human beings, those that are not completely controlled by spirits that they don't even know what they are, Father. To send the Holy Ghost to bring conviction. He said, in the last days I pour forth of my spirit. We need your spirit more than ever, Father. Including all those who claim to be believers in Jesus. Well, I'm a Christian. But I, you know, sleep around. Oh, that's okay? What about adultery? Or how about idolatry? It's not much different. You think yourself more important than God? Father, we bind every spirit of perversion, every spirit of trying to force people to do anything they don't want to do, including the child soldiers in Somalia or whatever, and the children are being forced to do unhealthy and demonic things by people who are persuading them for the good of whatever their local cause is, whether it's in Somalia, whether it's in Israel. Oh, Father, save the children. You said you're not willing that any of these little ones should perish. Father, how many children in Israel have to have their limbs blown off? And it isn't just the physical damage, it's the emotional stress and the people over there that, Father, you said that some people's minds are so connected with their guts, Father God. You know, people do feel butterflies when they're a little bit challenged, you know, not just when they do a little bungee jumping or maybe climb out of an airplane with a parachute on for the first time. Maybe they haven't done it before. Maybe they don't know that it could be perhaps a little bit challenging for their adrenaline. But anyway, Father, there's some people that are doing things that are so demonic, Father. We ask for your adjudications, Father. You said, if two of you on earth agree to touch anything as yet, shall be done to my Father, which is in heaven. According to your word, that's forever settled in heaven, Father God. Because you said, the meek shall inherit the earth, not the people that say, oh, I'm above the law. I work for this three-letter agency that's funded by unlimited funds by this huge government. And how do they always manage to get their way? Oh, you know, just sheer force. They worship the God of forces. We read about that somewhere. So I think that was the Antichrist worshiping the God of forces. He doesn't worship the God of his ancestors, Father God. But in these days, there are lots of Antichrists, Father God. People that don't know Jesus came in the flesh. Why did he have to come in the flesh? Because he was tempted in every way such as we are, yet without sin. How did he do that? How could he be tempted in every way such as we are? Oh, but if you just lie on this form, we'll give you a big bonus and we'll give you, you know, a nice airplane ride, maybe a private jet or something. Just lie here. I think they offered Alex Jones how many millions of dollars to sell his company to them. He said, no, thank you. And then what happens? Oh, well, you know, he's just a terrible person. He needs to be sued for $1 billion. And is he perfect? Absolutely not. But how about the people who are pretending to be leaders in different nations, Father God? Those different leaders that, what's going on? What's going on all over the earth, Father? We ask for adjudication in every one of these areas. All the conservatives in the United Kingdom and France were knocked out just purely, you know, a coincidence, nothing to do with any problems with election integrity in those nations as well as the United States or perhaps in Canada, Father God. The people in Canada, those truckers up there, they used to think that, you know, they had a government that was supposed to be representing the people. Oh, they didn't know they're representing the bankers. Oh, the Black Rocks and all those people. Father, we ask for adjudication in every one of these areas. I don't know. Sabrina's uncovered a lot more things. But you said We're supposed to be wise unto that which is good. What's good? Only God is good. And simple concerning evil. So we don't major in all these things. I know DCH has always been able to put it in a nutshell about all the hot spots around the world and all the challenges. And there are lots of hot spots around the world, Father God. Not just in Israel, not just in Ukraine, not just in the areas affected by China, Father God. They want to get their Silk Road Initiative pushed through, Father God. And they've done a fabulous job of promoting themselves and destroying this country. I mean, maybe they haven't. Maybe it's just a rumor I've heard. But, Father God, we ask for adjudications to every one of these areas where the different three-letter agencies are being used to control people in other nations. Hey, how about in this nation? How about the United States? How about in the United Kingdom? How about in France? How about in Canada? How about every nation? How about in Australia? Every nation. How about, not, hey, about South Africa? Didn't that, what was that lady's name again? Shalandra Creasy. I think she managed to bop around to lots of places, Father God. She was down in South Africa where they've been having the war with whites against blacks. You know, it's a racist thing. Well, they tried that in this country, and they said, well, that's not working too well. I know they decided to come up with a religious war instead, trying to turn Zionist Christian supporters against Muslims, Father God. You know, that's a great plan. We'll have all these people fighting themselves, so we don't have to do it. Father God, there's a lot of shenanigans, and I think Tammy's right. The truth is stranger than fiction. There's so much going on. Father, we ask you to continue to expose, and you've been doing a fabulous job, Father, of exposing what's really going on, Father God. And these people that are exposing, these people that are bringing these things to light, some of these little people on TikTok, they're quite young, they're quite bright, but they haven't been completely controlled by the 5G just yet and all the injections and the other garbage coming from the skies and other things, Father God. But we thank you, Father God, for exposing what's going on. These are the last days. And we need to be looking for Jesus. And is everybody out there on their balcony staring at the sky? I don't think it works that way. No, we're supposed to be ready when he comes back. Are we supposed to be carrying grudges and angry with everybody? My boyfriend wasn't nice to me. Well, why wasn't he nice to me? Is he a Christian? Is he controlled by whoever you submit yourself to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey? Oh, I forgot about that little part. Father God, what about these people? What about this nice yoga teacher? Oh, she wants to bring peace and love and tranquility while she's helping the CIA with arms shipments. Isn't that a nice cover? Father God, we ask you to expose all the covers of all this stuff that's going on all over your earth in Jesus' name. And we thank you for doing so, Father God. We thank you for what you've already done and are doing and going to do. I think, where is that in? For there's nothing hid that shall not be made manifest. Neither was anything kept secret that shall not come abroad in Mark 4:22, Jesus speaking. But Father says that just a few verses later, he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. Why do we need to be careful what we hear? Oh, because faith comes by hearing. And he said, take heed, little flock, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I think someone posted that tonight. To give you the kingdom. I don't remember which saint it was right now. But Father God, we thank you. Your word is forever settled in heaven. You want to give us the kingdom. What is the kingdom of God? Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Oh, Jesus was hanging on that cross for what purpose? To please the Father. And for the joy that was set before him. What's the joy set before him? Did Jesus enjoy it when Martha's sister Mary just sat at his feet and listened to his words? Yeah, he did. He wants people to listen to him because Father God said, this is my beloved son. Hear him. There's some Christians that say, well, you can't hear Jesus talk. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Well, I don't know. Some people don't hear the still small voice. There's a few people who've actually heard the audible voice of God, because you have to be really careful to hold every thought captive, because Satan's pretty good at copycatting in lots of ways, Father God, lots and lots and lots of ways, you know, with masks and with, duplegangers and all of that, multiple Hillary Clintons and multiple Bidens with different shaped earlobes And Father God, there's a lot of nonsense that's going on in the world. So we thank you for exposing what's going on, bringing it all to light. And you've given Jesus all power in heaven and earth to judge what's going on, Father. We ask for your adjudications and all this evil that's being forced on all the children in Israel, the children in Somalia, the children in every nation, Father God, the children in the United Kingdom, the children in China, the children in every nation. How about the children that are being forced to work in slave labor camps in China, Father God? All the children all over the earth, the people in Africa, they're not allowed to use more combustion engines to help have more food production so they don't have to be hungry, Father God. They're trying to starve and punish and poison the people all over the earth, and not just with literal poisons, Father God, not just cyanide or something. That would be too blatant. No, we're going to give them Bill Gates, thing to help thin the world's population to make it a better place for who? The global elite. Where are they going to be? Oh, they're planning to hang out in their bunkers. What are they doing in their bunkers? Oh, they're building a pit for the pit that's digged for the wicked, Father God. They're digging a pit, and they're terrified because they know Jesus is coming back, and they know their time is really, really short, Father God. So they're trying to rake in the multi-trillions of dollars, where the dollar can still buy something, Father God, before it goes, bye-bye. Okay, we're not supposed to be hungry and thirsting for things that, you know, some of the people, they said that your gold and silver are cankered. You've heaped up treasure for the last days. And, Father God, some of those people are heaping up treasure, not just the people in London, Father God. The people all over the earth are heaping up treasure. How about all those people getting money from all the funds that went through Ukraine, courtesy of a nice little yoga teacher, maybe, or some other CIA operative, Father God, trying to help the poor people that are being horribly attacked by who? By Russia? What were they trying to do? Oh, they're trying to have people not build bioweapons labs right next door. Would we be pleased with Russia having nuclear missiles better ready to launch from Cuba? Is Russia not allowed to protect their own border? Oh, but we're not supposed to have borders anymore. I forgot about that. Father, we bind every one of these spirits behind all this flooding of all the nations with multiple people from multiple nations trying to, we speak confusion, division to the enemy's camp, division, confusion to the enemy's camp, all the witchcraft curses coming from every source, including from all those nice yoga teachers and all the witches and the warlocks and all those other places, who return at least simple in his spirits of sense and do those spirits intend to dust in Jesus' name because of the blood of him. We speak confusion and division to the enemy's camp in Jesus' name because of the blood of covenant. Because you pointed out very clearly, Father God, that's how Gideon did really well in that long section that Pastor Sabrina was very nice to read to us recently, Father God, from Judges, I think it's chapter 6 and 7, Father God. And Gideon, his knees were knocking. He went down with his armor bearer because he wasn't so sure he was a mighty man of valor. But Father God used that. And Satan, Jesus speaking in Mark 3:26, and if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand but hath an end. Satan, your time's up. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he will first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house. And Jesus says to all the saints, even the least of these, they can decree these things according to what's written in the Word, because we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're all going to have to answer what's written in the book. Even the people, especially the people who've read the book, but the people who've never even read the book, we're all going to be judged by what's written in the book. That's how it goes. That's what it says in the end of the Gospel of John, chapter 12. So, Father God, we ask these people that claim to be working for democracy and liberty from the United States to help other countries be equally progressive and have LGBTQ all over their countries where they don't want it. Father God, we ask for your adjudications, all these things where the children are being sacrificed to Satan, having their genitals chopped off or their breasts chopped off or whatever it is as children, Father God. You want us to have to circumcise our hearts, not the bodies, Father God. We ask for a divine help. These people that like to cut off body parts on other people, Father God, we ask for your adjudications on all those people. And those people that are trying to use funds from BlackRock and Bank of America and all these and all these people from the, the arms manufacturers in the United States and the big banks all hanging together, Father God, to make lots of money. At what expense? We thank you for exposing what's going on, Father God. Even some of these false politicians that are suddenly trying to get a bit of a conscience about, you know, what's going on in Israel isn't very nice. And some of the people are willing to actually talk about what really happened there, that the Israeli government, they knew what was going to happen before it happened, and they stood down. They said, oh, it was an intelligence failure. No. From what we hear, even by some people like General Flynn, this was their border was too well protected to have this as an intelligence failure. It was planned, Father God, so they could be portrayed as the victim. And they needed to stand up for their protection against the aggressors, just like the people in Ukraine had to stand up against the aggressor, Russia, who was provoked. They kept poking the bear, trying to get World War III big time going. Actually, it's already happened. We're already in a psychological warfare. So we bind all those attacks against people's hearts and minds, trying to bring fear and confusion to human beings, especially those that call themselves Christians, in Jesus' name. We ask you to send the Holy Ghost. Send the Holy Ghost to press on the Lord. We lift up the Christ all over your earth, Father.
When I was just a child, I heard a beautiful story. How you loved me so much that you died on Calvary.
Father,
fear, another nonsense, pandemic, anything. They're trying to do anything and everything they can to remain in power. But now they're cutting a new deal with Donald Trump with you. Maybe that's true, maybe it's not. Father, we ask for your communication. We ask for the Holy Spirit to all the independent believers to save their souls.